Well, if you haven't been to the website, www.thejazzcat.net, what are you waiting for? I mean, you're missing out on not only a lot of great information, but exclusive interviews conducted by none other than the Jazz Cat himself. You probably met him at the Dizzy's Den over at the Monterey Jazz Festival the last week or so ago. And he is also exclusively here on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio on Tuesdays at about this time of day. He brings in some of the jazz luminaries that you just don't hear him interviewed in this manner. And it's a way for them to be able to kind of communicate with all of us out there that other than through their instrument of choice. Today he has done that again. He's brought another jazz luminary to the airwaves of Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio, and we need to thank him for that. And Leroy, are you there?
I am here. How you doing, Jerry?
Well, thank you very much. I'll let you make the proper introductions. I have Stompin' at the Savoy right now, which is the lead track on the new CD of this renowned Max Jazz recording artist, Live at the Dakota, and I'll let you take the ball from here. Here's the segment, Live at the Jazz Cat, with his guest today. It's Leroy Downs.
Well, the guest is Mr. Jeffrey Keyser. We call him the genius of the keys. What's happening, man?
Hey, well, that's a pretty tall order.
No, not at all, man. I've seen you play with the band, with Christian's band, so many times, and I think the last article I wrote, I had to call you the genius of the keys.
Oh, well, thanks.
Well, your website online, at least that first page, is like an internet sanctuary. It seems like nature plays an important role in your life. I know you like Japan, but where's your favorite spot in the world to get your peace and contemplate your musical ideas?
I don't know, because I travel so much that I have to find a way to connect with nature or find peace no matter where I am. So I'll end up trying to go for walks in parks or, I don't know, just anything I can do, really. I used to live in the Bay Area for about 5 years, and I loved it up there. Now I'm in Southern California in San Diego. It's another, you know, it's different, but it's certainly interesting. I don't know. I love Yosemite. I love Hawaii. Just about any of the beautiful places, really.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to be chosen to compose, commission pieces, and you've been selected on several occasions to do that and perform your music. Are these organizations, do they already have ideas in mind of what they want, or is it your style of playing that they seek to acquire for their programs?
Well, I think it's usually the writing that they want, and I've done a few different commissions. I recently did something for the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, and it was a 45-minute piece. And the guy that runs that is a guy named Tommy Smith, a saxophone player, excellent musician. And he knew my playing through my work with Joe Locke, because he plays in Joe Locke, the vibraphonist. He plays in Joe Locke's band, one of Joe's other bands. So he hired me to do one of their commissions, and I've done a few other things in the past. I've done mainly Mozart in San Diego. I don't remember how that came about exactly, but they're all different. You know, I guess sometimes someone will come see me play somewhere at a club and go, oh, I'd like to work with that guy. You know, or they might have one of my albums and like the writing on there and want me to do something. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you mentioned you're in San Diego now. Is there a thriving jazz audience there? Is there a new club up there?
I don't know. I haven't been there long enough. I mean, there's certainly a thriving jazz audience there. I've been to a few concerts down there. I saw Wayne Shorter's quartet there, and the place was packed. So, you know, San Diego's a lot hipper than it probably gets credit for.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm in L.A., and I always travel north. I want to travel down to San Diego.
Yeah.
I want there to be some music. Well, now you're down there. Hopefully you'll be performing some gigs down there, too.
Yeah, I'm doing one in April at the Museum of Arts down there.
Well, cool, man. I hope myself and all of those out here listening can make it down there. You're listening to Jeff Keyser. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat, and it's broadcast every Tuesday right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Now, I've seen you perform many times as a member of, you know, Christian McBride's band, and Joe Locke was just recently on the show, and he had some really great things to say about you. How's the vibe working in these different musical environments?
Yeah, literally, how's the vibe,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I love playing with Joe. The vibraphone, the marimba, percussion in general is an interest of mine. I actually started out on drums, and my dad is a percussionist, so I grew up packing up marimbas and loading timpani into trucks and things like that,
yeah.
Taking apart drum sets. So I've always been connected with percussion, and Joe's, you know, besides being a great vibraphonist, he's just one of my favorite people and also one of my favorite musicians to work with on any instrument. Some of the other projects I'm involved in, I have a duo with Jim Hall, just guitar and piano, and we've been doing that off and on for a couple years now, and it's a completely different thing. It's also very, very contemporary, very free. Playing with Jim is kind of like seeing just how much space there is between the notes, and if you can somehow blow it up and find more.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, Christian McBride's band would be the exact polar opposite. It's, you know, fusion, it's loud and energetic, and I play 5 or 6 keyboards, and so it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of different projects I'm involved in, and they're all equally fun.
Well, you had the opportunity to play with some great legends in the business, too. I mean, times are changing, and the chance to play with historic bands are diminishing, unfortunately, at a higher rate than we'd like. What did playing with people like Blakey do for your musical experience, and what are you going to do to pass on to the youngsters who will eventually play with you?
Well, that's what I'm doing this week. I'm actually in L.A. teaching at the Thelonious Monk Institute, and we've got a band, a septet up here with some just really fantastic young musicians. A couple of them are already been out on the scene a bit and had some experience, so these guys are seasoned players, and they're all writing new music, you know, they're writing their own originals, and just, you know, these are the guys that are going to be out here and keeping the music going.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I haven't been able to structure my own bands like Art Blakey's band in the sense that, you know, in the sense of taking on younger musicians and giving them training on the road, because I just don't have enough gigs as a leader to do that. I know that's one thing that Terrence Blanchard is doing. You know, he keeps getting different people in his band, and even Herbie Hancock, he's always kind of taking on new and younger players.
And they're using cats from the Thelonious Monk Institute.
Well, he has at least one. You know, one of the main things I got from playing with Art Blakey, besides just the experience on the road, which was really both positive and negative, but just Art Blakey had a way of really knowing what his demographic was and I guess it's redundant, but basically who he was playing for, who was in the audience, and what they needed and what would be the best way to sort of meet their needs as an entertainer. He understood, and Ray Brown too, they understood the entertainment side of the business, and when we went up to play, we really played a show. We didn't just go up and do some kind of tortured performance art for people to watch.
Right,
It was really a show, and the audience was really part of it. We really tried to consider who we were playing for and what they might like. And just always another thing with both of those bands was that we always gave our all. We always energetically gave 150% every time we played. And that's something that I still try to do with my own band. And that's actually really one of the reasons that I wanted to make this record, this live trio record, because I've made a lot of different kinds of records. I've made records that have focused more on my writing, and the one before Falling Up on Max Jazz was kind of based on some Hawaiian music, and it was super mellow. You know, that's the mood I was in when I made it. But I wanted to, I realized that there was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a difference between what I was doing on record and what I was doing live. And I thought, you know, I should make a record really for my fans, like a record of me playing piano, because that's usually what they come to see. And so I wanted to make the best piano record that I could possibly make, you know, that I tried to at least. And, you know, it was fun. I enjoy playing live with the trio. And one of the challenges of that record in particular was that we actually recorded a lot of new music, things that we had never played before. So when we were playing them and recording them for forever and ever, you know, on record, we'd actually never really played much of that music before. So it was completely new. And it wasn't easy music. It's pretty complicated. But, you know, I had guys like Terrion Gully on drums and Matt Closey on bass, who are just both brilliant musicians, good readers, and these guys can play just about any style, and not only authentically, but put their own thing on it too. You know, and they get very quickly can get to making music where they're not just reading notes off a page, but they're really creating music and adding to it and making it even better than I imagined it could be. You know?
You're listening to Jeffrey Keyser. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. This is Leroy Downs. You know, I interviewed The Tank. Just recently, Terrion Gully. Unfortunately, his interview got erased and we didn't get much of it online.
Bummer.
But you've been performing with him in a few different situations and as a part of this new Max Jazz trio that you mentioned, Wildcrafted Live at the Dakota is the name of the brand new Max Jazz disc. How is it playing with the Tank in all those situations, and also, you know, with you and your trio? You just mentioned some of the things, but you also mentioned your bass player as well.
Yeah, I mean, Terrion, he's really one of the finest drummers I've ever played with, you know, young or old, and he listens to so much music. His iTunes is like unbelievable, you know, the stuff he's got on there, and every style from all over the world, and he learns all of it. He picks it all up, figures out how to play it, and that's one of the things that makes him so in demand, is that, you know, if you call Terrion, if you say, yeah, give me such and such beat from this, you know, obscure village in Brazil, he can do it.
Right.
You know, he can do just about any beat in the world that's ever been played, and also play it in a unique and personal way. So that's pretty heavy. You know, and he's a good musician, and he thinks like an arranger and a composer. So he, like Lewis Nash, is the same way. Although they're very different stylistically from each other, they play in a way that brings more out of the music than you even knew was there when you wrote it.
Yeah, great cast to have in your quarter.
Yeah.
Well, you combine elements from all different genres, like world, pop, classical, and the likes, into your music. How do you mix these ingredients and still maintain a jazz core when writing some of your new compositions?
I don't know. I don't do it consciously. It's just an expression of who I am as a person, and I have all these things I'm interested in, so it just naturally comes out that way.
Yeah. Well, what are some of your hopes and dreams and aspirations for the music and the audience? I mean, is there something to attain, or is just best making, you know, new turns off the beaten path and knowing that the journey will always lead you to a beautiful place?
You said that so eloquently that I don't even know what to add to it. I mean, just practically speaking, I would like to do more as a leader with my own trio. That's really where I have the most fun. I mean, I love all the bands I play in, and but I'm the most happy when I'm playing my own music with my group. And so I would like to have more opportunities to do that. You know, I need to find an agent. Really, you really need an agent. You just can't do this stuff on your own, and the promoters won't even talk to you unless you have an agent. So.
Oh, man, that's not right.
Well, but it's just the way it is, and I can understand also if I were a promoter and I was getting 50,000 CDs on my desk every day, I don't know if I would handle it any differently. But I don't know as far as the music itself where it's going or where I would like to see it go. I would like to see it just continue to exist, period, and you know, whatever, you know, small percentage of the market we have, I just don't want it to get any smaller.
Not at all, man. Well, you know, we're all out here fighting to keep our piece of pie and make it bigger every day.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Keyser right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat. You're listening to it on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, you know, I interviewed Taylor Eichstein not long ago.
Yeah, that's my man.
Yeah, he hit me to this movie by Bjork, Dancer in the Dark.
Right.
It's pretty deep, man.
It's a disturbing movie.
Yes. Yes, it was my first experience with Bjork as an actor, although I've heard her name mentioned by a few artists. What is it about her music that inspired you to record and revisit one of her songs?
Well, Bjork, her music, like any pop sort of music that jazz guys have taken on, just has the sort of necessary ingredients. I mean, to interpret a song as a jazz musician, number one, we need a strong melody. Number two, we need interesting chords. That's kind of the basic things. I mean, the rhythm, obviously we change the rhythm to be, you know, jazz. But, you know, I need a melody and I need some kind of harmonic content, and her music has that. And there's beauty in it. You know, her songs are really quite beautiful in a sort of quirky way.
Right.
That's what I'm attracted to. I'm attracted to melody before anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's because you're a super melodic cat.
No, I try.
Well, we talked about the nature a bit earlier. I was mentioning on your website, but the album is called Wildcrafted, and that's derived from an organic source as well. It's a live recording, and I would imagine that the music actually takes on new elements each time it's played, and you captured the best on this recording.
Well, we captured some early versions of those tunes. Of course, if we play them now, they've evolved. I mean, that was already 2 years ago when we recorded it.
Right.
And they were brand new, hot off the press. So they've developed a bit, but that's the thing that I love probably the most about this genre, is that playing it, you know, every time I play a song, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we love that about the music, man. That's
but hopefully different in a good way. My mother used to say that different was her way of saying she didn't like it. I'd say, "Hey, Mom, how you like this tune?" She said, "Well, it's different." But, I mean, hopefully different in a good way, you know.
Yeah, I'm
Keeps
sure.
Keeps me interested. You know?
I'm sure. Well, you know, I know that you're here in Los Angeles this week teaching over at the Thelonious Monk Institute.
Yeah.
Will you be performing here in town anytime soon, or back on the West Coast anytime?
I'm trying to think, and nothing's coming to mind at the moment, but I could be. You know, most of my stuff, if you check my website, check the dates page. I usually have to go to my own site to see what I'm doing. So if it's there, if I'm doing anything, it'll be on there.
Hey, well, you know what? We're going to do our best. I'm going to do my best to make sure that we get some gigs opening up for you here on the West Coast.
Well, that'd be great.
Yeah. Jeffrey Keyser, ladies and gentlemen. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat. You just spent some good time with pianist, composer, Jeffrey Keyser.
Jeffrey Keyser's website, by the way, is www.jeffrey, that's spelled with a G, Jeffrey Keyser, K-E-E-Z-E-R, if you're not familiar with the name, which you should be, but if you're new to jazz, then you may not be. And it's jeffreykeyser.com. If you want to go to that website, you'll be able to get all the information, including some of Jeffrey's comments. But Live with the Jazz Cat is here every Tuesday about 5:14 p.m. or thereabouts, and you can hear exclusively here live on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. All compliments of Leroy Downs, otherwise known as Jazz Cat, and today his special guest being Jeffrey Keyser, Max Jazz recording artist. The album Wildcrafted recorded live at the Dakota in Minneapolis, Minnesota, back on September 12th of 2004, and we hope to have Jeffrey in concert here very soon. Extremely talented, gifted, and like Leroy says, a genius, along with all the other tremendous pianists that are featured on the piano series on the Max Jazz label. We'll be right back with more from our For Locals Only program here on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio, Tuesday, October 3rd, 2006 edition. It is For Locals Only, and this is Gary Hamada. And I want to thank Leroy Downs and Jeffrey Keyser again.
Every time, Gary.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. We'll be right back with more from For Locals Only. He calls it Miriam. It's on the album Live at the Dakota, Wildcrafted, Live at the Dakota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, recorded in 2004. Jeffrey Keyser, and you can certainly tell he's adept at the piano, and if you want to pick up your copy, you're certainly able to do that right here at the Jazz and Blues Company. You want to give us a call at 624-6432. It's right there for your taking, and pick it up. called Wildcraft at the great Jeffrey Keyser, a Max Jazz recording.